Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers met with Justin Verlander. We get into a debate about Verlander versus Jacob deGrom. We talk a little bit about Shohei Ohtani and maybe a planned his plans for his MLB future. And we'll get into a little bit about Scott Boras' clients and the Dodgers and why that might be an issue. So that's what's on tap. So make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. And we're here every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, so make sure to subscribe and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Samperio. That's my co-host, Jeff Snyder. We're both lifelong Dodger fans that have currently cover the team and have covered the team in the past, in the press box and locker room. Not quite insiders, but we're here to bring you our thoughts and our analysis on the Dodgers and everything that goes on with them for about 30 minutes Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And we're here together to do that again. Nothing groundbreaking news-wise, but the Dodgers did meet with Justin Verlander, so we'll get into a little bit of talk about that. Chris Martin said an interesting thing about Shohei Ohtani that we're going to talk about. And then Scott Boras and the Dodgers and kind of a weird dynamic that's been going on. And this might be the offseason where some of that changes. So all that to say, Jeff, how's it going? And I'm glad to be back. I hate missing days, but I'm glad to be here now.
Yeah. It's good to see you again. It's because we pre-recorded our Thanksgiving episodes. It's been, what, 5 days since you and I have actually talked to each other. So good to see you. Hope you enjoyed your time in Seattle and got to see a Raiders win, which hopefully makes up for tonight having to watch an excruciating Lakers loss.
Yeah, it was, I was like 0-6 seeing the Raiders on the road. So the curse, I believe, is broken. I wasn't sure I was going to have a voice for today's episode, but it held on strong. So we're here. And we're here to talk about Dodgers, though. And it was reported, John Heyman reported that Verlander and the Dodgers were going to meet. Nothing came about that meeting. We didn't get any reports or anything like that. But we've talked a lot about Justin Verlander. We've talked a lot about starting pitching for the Dodgers. Ken Rosenthal had a little nugget in his article, you know, just reiterating the thing about the Dodgers and short-term high AAV contracts, which basically puts them in a thing for, or puts them in position for a guy like Justin Verlander or Jacob deGrom. So if it really came down to those two, Jeff, I think the debate we're about to have is which of those two would you rather have for the Dodgers?
Yeah. And you know, I had a thought tonight. I keep coming back to the fact that Verlander doesn't have a qualifying offer attached to him. DeGrom does. And so it will cost the Dodgers more than just money to sign DeGrom. But I had a little epiphany, and it's probably something that everybody else besides me has realized already, but maybe they haven't put it quite in these exact terms. The Dodgers, if they were to sign Jacob DeGrom, they would lose their second pick and their fifth pick in next year's draft and $1 million in international bonus pool money. Their second pick is their second round pick, and their fifth pick would be the pick that they actually got because the Angels signed Tyler Anderson. They got a compensation pick after the fourth round. So that's their fifth pick right now. So that they would lose their second round pick and the pick they just got for Tyler Anderson. And the $1 million in international bonus pool money. And I keep feeling like that's a big factor. But then I realized if the Mets had called last year, called the Dodgers and said, hey, we would like to trade you Jacob deGrom in exchange for Tyler Anderson, your second round pick, and $1 million in international bonus pool money, the Dodgers would have jumped at that so quick because, you know, it really is. I mean, Jacob deGrom is so good when he's healthy. And, you know, when I put it in those terms, because, you know, the the fifth pick, it wasn't one, you know, that's the trade for Tyler Anderson, basically. It wasn't one they had anyway. And so really it's the one pick and the $1 million in bonus pool money, which, yeah, it's real. And since there is Justin Verlander available, who you could, you know, you could make a pretty lengthy pro-con list for both of those guys. But I realized once I was able to get past the hangup of losing the draft picks, I realized Jacob deGrom is so, so good when he's healthy that it really, I don't know. I would love to see Jacob deGrom in Dodger blue. That's kind of what it boils down to for me. And Verlander would be a fine consolation prize, but I want Jacob deGrom. That's what I've decided.
Yeah. I mean, there's no wrong answer really here in terms of who you want. It's a matter of, you know, Justin Verlander is probably more durable at this point, even though with his, you know, he's got some years on DeGrom, but he's also got some years on DeGrom, and, you know, realistically, he's going to help you for sure. And, you know, no knock on him, but he has had some struggles in the postseason. And for Dodger fans, a lot of stuff comes down to how players are going to perform in the postseason. So, you know, you could be a Dodger fan that thinks that way and looks at Justin Verlander's track record, and it's, you know, not the greatest in the postseason, but he's had some really good series and he's had some really bad series and he's had some good games and he's had some bad games. That's just the nature of how it goes. Jacob deGrom is, you know, a little more risky in the fact that you don't know if you're going to be able to get him to give you 25, 30 starts a year anymore. But, you know, it comes down to, are you willing to pay the money for elite production in maybe short spurts, or, you know, are you willing to pay $40 million a year for potential 20 DeGrom starts plus October? And where the Dodgers are sitting, where they're at, that's something that they can consider because of what else they have. You know, they have Julio, they're going to have Kershaw, you know, Gonsolin, May, whoever, everyone else, Pepio, and, you know, Andre Jackson, you know, everyone else that they have is there. They got Miller and Stone coming up soon. They'll have an offense that should be putting up runs. You know, they've shed a lot of salary and everything else. And it leads you to believe that they have the money to do so, you know, to give to DeGrom, even if you're not going to expect to get him for 30 starts a year. And at this point, what you're paying for, like I said, is that premium talent, especially something that's going to come to October. So, yeah, I'll take the Verlander side just for the fact that you took the DeGrom side. And for Verlander, it's, you know, you're getting durability. Yeah, he had Tommy John and he had that core muscle injury. But you go back and he's made a lot of starts. 2016, 34 starts. 2017, he had, 33 starts between the two teams. 2018, 34 starts. 2019, 34 starts. 2020 was injured. He only pitched a little bit. 2021, he was out with Tommy John. Then this last season, 28, he did miss a couple starts here and there, but still won Cy Young, still was dominant, still was elite. And I don't know. It's a gamble on Father Time, but he appears to not be slowing down. He still has the velocity. He still has the stuff. And he's a guy who's smart enough to figure it out if he does lose a little bit here and there. And it's one of those where seeing Justin Verlander in a Dodger uniform after seeing Max Scherzer in a Dodger uniform and seeing Clayton Kershaw in a Dodger uniform here for his whole career, you know, those are the three best pitchers kind of this generation or this past generation that might be on their way out now. But it would be cool to see, even though I have mixed feelings about Verlander as a person and, you know, everything else. But at this point, I think it's one of those where I'm ready to see whoever in a Dodger uniform if it's going to help.
Yeah, I can see that. Verlander, you know, yeah, he was on the cheating Astros. He was a pitcher. He wasn't part of the cheating. He wasn't even acquired until August that year, which means the cheating scheme was already well implemented long before he was even on the team. So that part doesn't bother me as much. Back to DeGrom, you know, honestly, I would be fine with the Dodgers, with DeGrom making 8 or 10 starts, as long as he's healthy in October. Like, I don't care if DeGrom misses most of the regular season, as long as he makes those 5 or 6 starts and is healthy and effective in October. You know, it's not my $40 million, so I don't care. And obviously, you know, Dodger, that's not ideal for them, but it's really about when he makes those starts if he's healthy in October. That's going to ultimately determine whether it's worth it if they do sign him.
Yep. Oh, hi. I forgot I was hosting the episode. We are going to get into Scott Boras and clients about his clients and signing with the Dodgers. First, let's talk about BetOnline, because BetOnline is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. They got all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those on BetOnline as well. They're also the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fixed, especially with all the sports going on right now. So check them out at betonline.net on your laptop or mobile device and learn more about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. So in that Rosenthal article I mentioned earlier, he added a note saying, from the For What It's Worth department, the Dodgers routinely draft and sign international free agents who are Boras clients, but they have not added one of its veteran free agents on a multi-year contract since December 2012. That was Hyunjin Ryu on a six-year, $36 million deal. While guys like Bellinger, Seager, Julio have all excelled for the Dodgers as Boras clients, Andrew Friedman and the Dodgers have mostly stayed away from Boras players on the open market since he came in 2014. They did bid on Gerrit Cole, but lost out to the Yankees. They did offer the qualifying offer to Ryu in 2018 when he came back. But there is a lot of talent that are Boras clients this offseason, Jeff. Is this something to read into? Is it just a matter of, you know, the Dodgers haven't necessarily needed or really gone after some of these guys that happen to be Boras clients? You know, do you think it's more correlation, causation, or just, you know, unlucky for Boras that the Dodgers aren't getting his guys?
Yeah, you know, I used to think that it was a little bit overblown, but Andrew Friedman mentioned Scott Boras by name this offseason at a press conference, and so kind of acknowledged that dynamic, that it exists. And I do think, and I've probably said this before on this show, I do think it has more to do with players who choose Scott Boras as their agent have certain priorities, and those priorities probably don't line up with being the kind of player the Dodgers are likely to go after long term. Obviously, every agent's job is to get his player the best contract possible. I actually had a conversation with an agent one time who he feels like they shouldn't be allowed to sign contracts longer than 4 or 5 years. That would be his perfect situation. And maybe that's because, you know, this guy represents more smaller players, and you know, he doesn't have the big names like that. But, you know, Scott Boras, guys who go to Scott Boras are looking to cash in big time when they hit free agency. They're looking to get to free agency. They generally don't sign extensions. And so I think it's really more maybe we're mixing up the cause and the effect, that guys who go to Scott Boras aren't the kind of guys the Dodgers likely to sign. This offseason, it's going to come into play because he has a lot of the big names. He has Carlos Correa and Xander Bogaerts, two of the big four shortstops. He's got Carlos Rodon. He's got Taijuan Walker, two pitchers who I would have been interested in the Dodgers going after. He has Brandon Nimmo and Michael Conforto, two outfielders. That's kind of the main ones, you know, Josh Bell, Jerks, and Profar, guys who maybe the Dodgers might have considered going after. And, you know, so there might be guys who the Dodgers do need to go after, but the Dodgers could also build a team without any of those guys, and maybe they will. Cody Bellinger's the other one, kind of the unspoken one there, that he's also a Boras client, and he's not going to be looking to cash in on a big long-term contract this offseason. He's hoping to do that next year if he can reestablish his value. I think Bellinger is probably the Dodgers' best chance at signing a Boras client this offseason. But, you know, Carlos Correa is a guy who, if the Dodgers can get past the baggage, he's young enough and good enough that he could fit the mold of the kind of guy the Dodgers might go after with a long-term contract. So they could maybe match up with Boras on that. But yeah, you know, I don't think they have anything against Scott Boras They just don't match up generally with Scott Boras type players.
Yeah, and that's the big part of it is, you know, for the most part, his guys are getting big money. And for the most part, the Dodgers have been smart or, you know, little, not frugal, but just handling the way their payroll is differently. You know, they paid Mookie Betts long term. They did Freddie Freeman somewhat long term. But other than that, I mean, they haven't really done the long term. They've done a lot of, you know, shorter contracts for Taylor 4 years. You know, Turner's been 5 and 3 years. Jansen was 5 years before. So, you know, a lot of, and those were all their guys coming back. So I think it's just a matter of it just hasn't worked out, hasn't lined up. But this would be the offseason where it does line up. And, you know, the other part too, that's not worrisome, but it just makes me feel like, you know, we've talked about Julio before and you know, we talked about him having extension talks and when should those have started. And if there was any thoughts of an extension, those talks would have started already. We haven't heard anything. I don't think we're hearing anything, you know, but it's one of those where Andrew Friedman's used to being the smartest guy in most rooms. Scott Boras thinks he's the smartest guy in most rooms. So there, you know, there might be a little clash of that. There might be a little bit clash of styles. And, you know, I've never been in a negotiating room with Scott Boras, but I would imagine he's a little bit different than maybe some other agents. And, you know, there is a difference there. And whatever the case is, he's trying to get the most money. The Dodgers are trying to get the most value. And those core dynamics don't always line up. And which is why maybe some of these contracts haven't lined up. You know, realistically, the Gerrit Cole one was the one mentioned, and that's the one that was closest. The Dodgers did offer him, you know, long, big-term money from what the reports were, but he ended up choosing the Yankees. That's kind of what they made it seem like. So it's not like the Dodgers are against it, but it just, you know, it would have to all line up. I think this is the time where it all lines up. I do, if I would make a prediction, I'd say the Dodgers do sign one of those Boras guys that you mentioned to a contract this offseason, or at least are in on the bidding to the point where, you know, they either get outbid ridiculously or someone else just, you know, ponies up maybe a couple extra years or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder on the Gerrit Cole thing if that might have further soured the relationship, because it is pretty obvious that Cole was always going to the Yankees and they clearly just used the Dodgers to drive up the Yankees price, and which is fine, but I could see a GM holding a little bit of a grudge over that. But also, you know, I think they all understand that's how the business works. And you know, that's the Dodgers are probably used to being used as a pawn to drive up a price. You know, it's happening again with Aaron Judge this offseason. They're not going to sign Judge, but whoever does sign him is going to pay a little bit more because the Dodgers were rumored to be in on him. And so that's kind of the nature of the beast when you're the Dodgers. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Andrew Friedman doesn't have super fond feelings about Scott Boras.
Yeah. Although I would imagine that a lot of people maybe don't, but you know, sometimes you just have to go after the guys, and Andrew Friedman's always in a position, and the Dodgers are always in a position where they don't have needs really for players, not just Boras clients, but just players in general for the most part. Like right now, the Dodgers in theory could field a team that would compete for the NL West for sure and for a World Series for sure without making any signings. Would that be ideal? No, but they have that team. They have that talent to do so. So, you know, I'm sure there's most agents maybe don't like dealing with the Dodgers and Friedman in general just because of that simple fact of he's not going to give them what they want. They're going to get what they want or they're not going to do it for the most part. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit of both sides. But I'd imagine, like I said, the Dodgers front office, they're working on their terms. And I think that's what agents don't like because they like teams that just spend freely like the Rangers last year or just throwing out money like it didn't matter.
Yeah, even Freddie Freeman last year. The Dodgers didn't outbid the Braves for Freeman. The Dodgers waited until the Braves made it clear they weren't going to give Freeman what he wanted, and then the Dodgers got kind of a discount on Freeman. And in fact, if you factor in the deferred money and the California tax rates and everything, Freddie's getting less money than he would have got in what the Braves offered him, but because the Dodgers were willing to do that sixth year, that's really what made the difference. But they kind of they just sat back and waited and were opportunistic. And that's how it's going to be. You know, if the Dodgers did end up with Aaron Judge, it would be something like that, where they just wait. And then Judge realizes, oh, my market's not quite what I thought it was going to be. Nobody's going to give me 7 or 8 years or 9 or 10 years. And once I'm looking at a 6-year deal, well, maybe I will go back and consider that 5-year deal from the Dodgers that was a higher AAV. You know, that's how the Dodgers are going to end up with Aaron Judge if they do. But otherwise, you know, yeah, they're not going to leave. They're not going to set the market. They're going to pay. They're going to look for value, like you said.
Yeah. All right. We got one more thing to get into, and that's an interesting thing that Chris Martin said about Shohei Ohtani. But first, real quick, thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen. And make sure to check out Locked On Dodgers every Monday through Friday, wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. You can also check out Locked On Sports Today, from the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports. Go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. All right, Jeff. So this is one that you heard of or found about Chris Martin and the conversation with Dave Vasse and Shohei Ohtani, which Shohei Ohtani, as we know, is good for SEO packaging and everything else. But this is actually a legitimate conversation that involves Dodgers. Chris Martin was a Dodger. He talked to Dave Vasse, who works for the Dodgers, and it talks about Ohtani's future, which we would believe could be with the Dodgers. So I'll pass it over to you to just kind of sum up what exactly was said.
Yeah, Vasse was on the radio, and he said Chris Martin, the former Dodgers reliever, was Ohtani's teammate in Japan, and he told me he believes Ohtani has mapped out his entire career, was already mapping it out in Japan. So he believes that Ohtani already knows which team he wants to sign with when he becomes a free agent, and none of this will have any bearing on it. And that just, I don't know, it's really intriguing, first of all, that to think that Ohtani has mapped all this out. But it's also, I'm really, really skeptical of it. And, you know, part of me is skeptical. Is that really what Chris Martin told David Vasse, or is David Vasse, did he misunderstand something? Is he making crap up? Martin and Ohtani were teammates the last 2 years that Ohtani was in Japan, 2016 and 2017. They were teammates. I have no doubt that they're friends and stuff. But Ohtani was 23 years old at the time. He had never played in the U.S. I have a hard time really believing that Ohtani would have felt confident enough that he knew enough about Major League Baseball to make these decisions so far in advance. And then when he did come over, you know, he had it narrowed down to 7 teams that he was seriously considering when he ended up signing with the Angels. And if what Chris Martin or if what David Vasse is saying is true, then we got to put either seriously or considering in quotation marks, probably, because Ohtani knew he was signing with the Angels. And maybe because of the nature of Ohtani wasn't a true free agent, it was the posting system. Teams were limited on how much they could offer him as a bonus anyway. And so maybe he didn't really necessarily pick out that first team. Maybe his plan was, I'll sign with some team to play my first 6 seasons with, and then I want to go to the Yankees or the Cubs or the Dodgers or whoever it is. You know, maybe it's the Marlins. That would be awesome. You know, maybe it wasn't quite that granular, but I mean, Vasse makes it sound like he thinks that Shohei Ohtani knows who he's going to sign with next year in free agency. And I just have a really, really hard time picturing that being accurate.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if that first team was the question mark, if you're mapping out what you're going to do when you come to the majors, there was nothing other than Mike Trout was on the team that would have led you to pick the Angels. So, you know, right off the bat, that was like not, I mean, I guess for marketing purposes, the Los Angeles name attached to it. But I mean, he only really became a star because he was legitimately good and doing things that we've never seen before. It wasn't because the Angels, that he would have been a star with anyone that he went to just based on what he was doing. So yeah, it's, you know, if you you know, reject that premise right away of oh, Shohei Ohtani want to go to the Angels, then yeah, you know, maybe he got confused between Los Angeles Angels and Dodgers. Although if it was, I guess, predetermined, you know, Clayton Kershaw was mad that he left and came for the pitch for Ohtani, and it seemed like Ohtani, you know, wasn't really involved or whatever the wording was back then that they said him and Justin Turner were kind of upset about it. But the other part too is, you know, he could have mapped out whatever, but if this new CBA didn't do the DH and the Ohtani rule, then, you know, he would have been limited again to mostly probably AL teams in order to be able to do what he's done. So, you know, it's could he have a plan in mind? Then, yeah, I believe that. But, yeah, to have it all, like, he knows who he's going to sign with, I don't think so. And then there's always, as we talk about every time there's a free agent that the Dodgers are linked to or just in general, there's always going to be a team that gives a lot more money than everyone else that, you know, nobody had the Rangers signing Corey Seager last year, and the Rangers signed Corey Seager last year. So, you know, there could always be a team like that comes out of nowhere, offers him $50 million more than anybody else, and he would have to legitimately consider that because that's $50 million.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, we're thinking about 2022 Shohei Ohtani. Like, I have no doubt that Ohtani was confident in his skills when he was playing in Japan. I don't think Ohtani knew that he was going to come over and win the Rookie of the Year award and then win the MVP award and, you know, be legitimately one of the best hitters and pitchers in baseball. I think he probably hoped that, but, you know, there's I don't think anybody, even Shohei Ohtani, could have planned out how his career has gone so far. I think it probably mostly meets what he had hoped for himself. But I feel like I know you have to have supreme confidence to be a professional athlete, but I don't know about that confident, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there was something that legitimately we've never seen before. The Babe Ruth comparisons at this point are a little bit of a disservice to Ohtani because what he did, Babe Ruth never did in the same year, really. He, you know, he was, what, fourth or fifth in Cy Young this past season and then second in MVP. And really the only reason he didn't win MVP again was Judge had a season that really came out of nowhere, ridiculous. And, you know, it might have been a little bit of Ohtani, not kind of like, you know, LeBron James legitimately, you know, was the best player in basketball pretty much most of his career. But he didn't win MVP every year because, you know, there was other people that either stood out or just, you know, people didn't. The awe factor was gone. You know, that first year when Ohtani did what he did, 2021, like that was the awe factor. But this last year, not quite awe factor, even though he got better on the mound and you know, was still solid at the plate. So, yeah, I believe that he has plans or he has teams that he considered or, you know, thought about going to or still thinks about going to, but, you know, just the combination of everything that's happened since then, you know, the fact that the Angels still never made the playoffs with him there, the fact that he, you know, like I said, doing something never done before and, you know, being one of the best player in baseball overall. And like I said, there's going to be teams that want that or want to bring him into their market that maybe weren't thought of before. So there's a lot of factors there, but yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thought, Chris Martin. We should get him on the podcast and expand on it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. On the MVP thing, I think Judge was a deserving MVP. Ohtani was quite a bit better on the mound this year than he was last year, but he was, I don't know about significantly worse, but he was definitely worse at the plate. You know, the reason he won MVP in 2021 is he was probably the best hitter in the American League and a very good pitcher. And I think if you flip those, he's not going to win. You know, this year he was one of the best pitchers, but just a very good hitter and not necessarily the best. And because for whatever reason, MVP still in people's minds is an offensive award, I think Ohtani has to be near the top in hitting and really good pitching in order to win the MVP. And so, and really realistically, he probably would have won it this year if it wasn't for the fact that Aaron Judge had a ridiculous season that he's never going to replicate, and very few people in baseball history have replicated. But yeah, you know, it's a Ohtani is a freak. Babe Ruth, like you said, he stopped doing it from both sides because they turned him into an outfielder because they knew he couldn't be great at both. He didn't have what it took to be great at both. And I think the reason we've never seen this before is because it is a really, really rare thing, because they're very unconnected skill sets. And it's rare to find somebody as good at hitting or as good at pitching in Ohtani. And the chances of finding both in one person are astronomical. And so, yeah, he deserves whatever money he's going to get. I don't think he knew when he was 22 and 23 years old that he was going to be quite this good. And so, yeah, I think he's probably going to make a decision when he hits free agency, like every other free agent, and not based on a decision that he made 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah. And he's not a Scott Boras client, I don't think. So Dodgers will have a chance at him for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, this is good stuff. And yeah, maybe we'll get some more news on Tuesday about how the meeting went with Verlander. Maybe some stuff will leak out with that. But yeah, hopefully we get some news soon. Winter meetings are coming up soon, if nothing else.
Yeah, winter meetings start next week. So hopefully that gets things kickstarted, if not before that. There was small signings around the league, but nothing of any players the Dodgers were linked to. Carlos Santana to the Pirates, Jose Abreu to the Astros. You know, Dodgers don't need a first baseman or really a DH at this point yet. So, you know, nothing there on that
front. Mike Clevenger signed with the White Sox, so that's bad news for the Dodgers.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to hit baseballs far off Mike Clevenger's. Well, they will play the White Sox.
Not as much.
Not as often. Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Make sure to check us out. We're here every Monday through Friday on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts. Subscribe. Help yourself out. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell people you know about us. You know, it's the off season. There's a lot of off season things to get into. And if you are missing your Dodger fix, we are here for you. If somebody you know is missing their Dodger fix, we are here for them. After you listen to Locked On Dodgers, you can check out Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. For us, you can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts. Even if we don't put out a call for questions, you can still submit questions, because we are going to need things to talk about as this offseason continues to go on. Even if the Dodgers sign a bunch of free agents, that's only going to last about a week or two of getting into things. So if you have questions, comments, concerns, send them their way. Send them via email, lockdowndodgers@gmail.com. Send them via voicemail, text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car. If you're at home, tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.